This is American Fashion Podcast. I'm Charles Beckwith, here with Kathy Sheppas.
Hey, everyone.
And our guest, well, actually, we're his guest. We're at CALA. Andrew Wyatt is here. Andrew is the CEO and founder, co-founder of CALA. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, glad to have you guys here.
It's wonderful. Great to be here.
Tell us a little bit about CALA. What is it?
So we call CALA Fashion House Technology. The idea being that now, in a world where anyone can have their own website, anyone can have their own podcast, now anyone can spin up a fashion house that is full-featured, scaled to their needs, provides everything they need to launch or scale a fashion brand. And we do that through our full-stack, web-based design and collaboration tool. It makes it really easy to build your tech packs and sort of collaborate with your team. And then on the other side is our global managed marketplace of over 57 factories, 25 different development partners, and together it's a really rich, you know, experience and everything that you need to launch or scale your brand.
So somebody can come to your system and they can basically come with just a sketch or a couple of pictures of things that they think could go together into a garment and then have a conversation with a technical designer. And then that person will create the tech pack for them and all of this. And all of this is under a monthly fee. It's a subscription. It's not a la carte, right?
Exactly. And what we've basically done is, so what you mentioned where you submit a design, you get paired with a development partner. Our development partners are, you know, have 10 decades or even more experience in pattern making, technical design, all that good stuff. And so in our creator tier, which is, you know, I think the best deal in fashion, $150 a month if you pay upfront annually, or $350 a month plus 20% of revenue. On that level, you can start with two or three reference images, a bunch of comments about what you like and don't like, and then they'll actually do a render for you, the full, you know, construction, call-outs, grading, marking, the whole deal.
Now, when you said a percentage of revenue, that's if they do e-commerce with you, right?
Exactly. So basically, for the way we're able to make it so inexpensive on a monthly basis is we're basically deferring our costs and having it, you know, come out of the designer's sales once they start selling. Instead of having a really big sort of like upfront monthly rate, we capture the value as that brand or designer is successful, which makes it really easy to start. And basically, we can provide a really full suite of services.
And does every designer that uses your system have to sell through your e-commerce system?
So we actually plug into Shopify. Or other, you know, storefronts. And so what we provide from an e-commerce perspective is, you know, the way to produce the products, we have warehouse partners that will store them, and then we'll plug into whatever your storefront is. And so you don't have to use that. And as a matter of fact, we offer a basic tier where it's really just access to CALA. You can produce stuff, we ship it wherever you need it. And it's kind of, you know, hands off from that point of view. But we find that people have the most success when they sort of tap into our full suite of services, from production to fulfillment, design assistance, financing.
And you break this up into three different tiers of how people can access your platform.
Exactly.
What are the three different tiers?
So the first is basic. I believe $150 a month if you are paying month to month, and then $100 a month if you pay upfront annually. You get access to our full production network. You get access to the platform for you and two team members. This is a great option for established designers that already have their flats, and they really just need the infrastructure to produce it and to produce it quickly and at a high level of quality. The creator tier takes the basic tier and adds in things like design assistance, fulfillment, where for no additional fee, the products can be stored as long as you need, drop ship to your customer, so you can provide the sort of Amazon-level post-purchase experience, as well as custom packaging. So really, and I guess at the creator tier, the big thing that really changes the game is the ability to defer all of the costs of the goods and have it come out of the revenue once you start selling. And so up to a certain credit limit that we basically work with our financing partners to set up, let's say, for instance, your collection's $5,000. You don't pay the $5,000 until you actually start selling the products. And so...
So the cost of goods, I'm sorry, is coming out of the revenue share?
Exactly. At the creator tier, you know, the limits start small unless you have a ton of like, existing sales history and things like that, somewhere between $2,000 and $5,000. But we also look at things like social engagement. How big's your audience? And even more importantly, how quickly does your first collection sell out? A lot of our customers, I would actually say the majority of them, they're selling out in the first week. And we're enabling them to bring a product to their audience they, you know, weren't able to do before. And so their audience responds really well to that. What's exciting is you know, seeing different clients that have gone from starting at $5,000 of credit and now have $50,000, in a course of like 6 months.
So does that mean you're also helping them, and you're saying they were selling out the first week. So are you also helping them with the forecasting piece of it, or is that their responsibility? One more.
Yeah. So we don't, you know, the beautiful thing about where we're at now is we've continued to add on additional services as we've solved other pain points. Now that I can produce the product I want, I don't want the products in my, you know, living room. So we added in fulfillment. And now that we're having great success in direct-to-consumer, I'm having working capital issues, so we added in financing. We kind of stopped today at that point. And so when it comes to selling the products, with the exception of paid marketing, which we do support on our highest tier, the uncapped tier, it's really up to the designer how they want to merchandise, the number of units, those elements, we still sort of, you know, rely on them.
Under your product development system, are physical samples being generated, and do the designers pay for those, or is everything virtual?
So we made this quite big change that not everyone likes, which is you commit to your units upfront. And so the way that works is we're basically, and we've got a lot of feedback from our factory network. They really don't like this, you know, create samples and, oh, yeah, I'm going to do 100, 300, and then, like, the order never comes through. And so what we do is we say, do your 5, you know, styles or 10 styles or 20 styles and commit to a number of units up front, because that allows us to make the entire supply chain move extremely quickly, because the development partners know that they're getting paid. The factories know when they accept a job exactly how many units it's for. And so they're able to make that decision of, does this make sense for my business? Rather than saying, oh, yeah, I'll do 50 units and then complaining the whole time about, you know, oh, I never do less than 300 units. Like, I'm making an exception. It's like, hey, if it doesn't make sense for your business, you can reject the bid. We have several other factories that could also do this at a really high quality level.
But of course, you come to the factories with combination orders of all of your clients. So you're able to actually come in with 500 orders, even if you're coming in with 12 designers.
Exactly. By having the technology that is streamlining the communication and standardizing the way that people communicate about fashion products, it makes it extremely easy for the factories, because whether it's, you know, this designer or that designer, it always comes in the exact same format. And so from a factory's perspective, it's super easy. They can just focus on what they do best, executing. And as a matter of fact, when they accept a bid, they're accepting to produce the products as per the specs that are in Kala, for the price that they're agreeing to, by the due date that they're accepting. So they have to affirmatively tick a box that says that they understand that before they accept every bid. But when they do that, then we send them 30% automatically. And then once they complete the project and the QA tests are passed, net 15 of that, then they get the residual 70%.
So what kind of minimums do companies have to adhere to?
So that's the beauty of our new subscription model, is that once you subscribe, there are no minimums. We have different factories that specialize at production at different scales. And so you were to log in and submit a collection with three styles, and one style, let's call it a button-down Oxford shirt at 100 units. Another style is a button-down Oxford shirt at 1,000 units. Those are going to actually go to two different factories. And what that enables us to do is always make sure that your design is going to the best fit factory based on the type of product and the complexity that specializes in the number of units that you want to produce.
And who's making that decision?
Our internal team.
Okay.
So that's something we'll automate over time. But for right now, you know, we have a great rapport with all of our factories, and we have a good understanding of, you know, where their specialties are. And so our team will review each design and decide, you know, the first bid's going to go out to this factory, or the second bid's going to go out to this factory.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your team, because I know you worked with Kuchelali Shaheen on their fit tech issues, and you were doing the fit tech for them. That was your startup, right?
Absolutely.
And so you got connected with some other people in the fashion business. And I know when people look at a company like this that's trying to change the fashion business, the first question is, who is doing that that we know? So who is doing this that people who are listening would know?
From a perspective of designers using our platform?
No, from the people that are
in the industry.
Are in your
Got it.
In-house with you that are making these decisions.
I see. So right now I'm actually looking at Bernadette, who's always here working late. So Bernadette is one of the first operations managers that joined our team. She spent several years, I want to say like 5 or 10, at Anthropology, and basically was a designer there, also helped on the development side, would go through the full process from, you know, working with the designers on the fabrication to presenting it to the design review team. And of course, through that, working with lots of different factories, different styles. And so, you know, and before that, she's even, you know, she's worked at a number of other fashion brands and has consulted for other fashion brands. Lauren, our head of ops, she was most recently at Alexander Wang. Before that, she helped Kanye do Yeezy season 1 through 4. Before that, Helmut Lang. She helped with Hood by Air, which is a cool streetwear line that's coming back soon, I think, which is exciting. And then before that, Polo, you know, and so she's kind of seen it all these different scales. And you know, one of the amazing things about actually both our tech team and our ops team is that in the last 12 months, we've gone from around 136 days on average for sort of an end-to-end lead time for a cut and sew product. And the way that we quote lead time is from when you confirm and check out the number of units until the products can actually start selling. So 136 days is still not actually bad by, you know, a lot of standards. Now we're averaging around 60 days.
Wow.
And it's a factor of amazingly talented people on our team, technology that is abstracting away all of the complexity of how to actually design a product, bringing the communication with factories online. We've launched things like app mentioning and in-app notifications. Our new timeline mode and task management really helps standardize the whole end-to-end process. That in combination with the fact that we're kind of stealing a page out of Zara's book, Little Taste of Their Own Medicine. But the reason we have 57 factories is so that we're not putting all the different styles through the same factory's queue. We actually have a distributed network in 10 different countries. And so that means that, you know, even right now, as we're getting close to Chinese New Year, we're starting to divert projects to Portugal and Turkey and Peru. And so what that enables a designer, large or small, to do is any time of the year, be able to produce whatever they want in 8 to 10 weeks. That's powerful.
How are you managing standards of quality and lead time with so many different partners? 57 is a lot.
It is a lot. And we're actually not going to be hyper-focused on getting too many more in the short term. Now we're just focused on going deeper with the ones we have. But we wanted to have geographic redundancy. We wanted to have product category redundancy. It really comes down to our in-app task management system. And so for each product category, Lauren and Bernadette and John, who you know also has a decade of experience and helped start the brand RUMI and worked at Dolan, which is a big private label company. They've come up with the, call it 45 to 75 different tasks that need to be completed in order for a project to happen perfectly. And now that's built in the product and it's automatically assigned to the designer or the development partner or the factory or the photo studio. And I actually got this concept from back in the day when I was doing pre-med. And so to do pre-med, you had to shadow like 200 hours of doctors at the hospital. All the best physicians that I shadowed had a checklist. So even though this one doctor, he told me he had done, it was like his 14,000th hip replacement or something crazy like that, he still used a checklist. And he explained it to me. He's like, I can't have any variance in the result, obviously. And so by going through my checklist, I'm basically airproofing the process and making sure that I get the same result every time. Pilots also do this, you may or may not have ever seen. And so we felt like, you know, creating a fashion product should be no different. And whether you are doing it for your first time and it's a beautiful roadmap of what needs to be done, or it's your 14,000th product you've created, having that list just to be that safety check really helps to standardize the whole process. When it comes to actual QA and QC, we have our sort of internal protocol that all of our factories will use. But then when we work with big companies that have their own specific QC requirements, they can just upload those to Calla and those checklists are added to, you know, sort of like the final checkoff. So we try to be really flexible on that.
So then is there a checkoff for the factories themselves? Like, you know, what kind of environment is the factory from? Yeah.
Only children work there.
Yeah.
So I started this by basically I went on Maker's Row and I found 25 factories. I went and met with all of them. I pitched them on this idea. Most of them said, you're crazy. And what I realized is that factories that you can find on the internet are not necessarily the factories that you want to use. And so that kind of began our process of going to every factory before we ever work with them. The second thing, of course, is that, you know, most, like the vast majority of our factories have, you know, top tier WRAP, all the certifications. It's easier to get certifications than you'd think. And so
we've heard that you can also buy them for not too much money.
Exactly.
Kind of like a service dog vest.
Is that you can buy, with enough cash.
You really have to know the people at the factories. You have to have a relationship with them over several years and understand who that is that you're dealing with, because if you're just picking websites off of the internet or you're getting people contacting you on LinkedIn, which for some reason people keep wanting me to use their manufacturing services. I have no idea. They don't read apparently, but it's just constant where these people are trying to get you to use their services. Pretty blind.
For me on LinkedIn, it was always like recruiters trying to offer me these amazing engineers that they're trying to place. And now it's that and, hey, here's my great factory. You know, we do very good work. I'm like, okay. So this is where we basically are initially have been very fortunate to tap into the networks of Bernadette and John, and then now tap into the network of Lauren as well. And so we're working with factories that they have a 5 or 10 year relationship of working with individually. And you can't understate the value of that when, you know, we need something urgent because a designer has a big launch and like we're doing everything we can. When, you know, John hits up Murphy, who he's been working with for 8 years, magic can happen. And so those are the things that like you can't really get that with just a pure tech play. And I think that's why Cal is special, is it is this beautiful fusion and harmony between traditional fashion and, you know, hardcore tech.
So going back to the beginning and describing who your client is for a second, because it's, is it pure e-com or are people also, because you mentioned big brands, do you have brands utilizing your services that also do wholesale?
Absolutely.
And if so, oh, okay.
Yeah, so we fully believe in the direct-to-consumer world. Like we've objectively made a bet on that. That being said, we know that there's plenty of brands that leverage wholesale, whether it's for marketing or whether it's as a core part of their overall, you know, GMV. And we fully support that. And so actually, if you're tapping into our fulfillment, you can, the same exact day, send a 500-piece order to Mr. Porter and 500 individual orders to customers all over the world, which is really powerful. And so, you know, we fully support that. And as a matter of fact, for people that come in and primarily do wholesale, we actually get excited by that because we're like, that's great. You already have this base of demand. You can flip a switch and now we can, you know, help you set up your website, set up the warehouses for drop shipping. And now you take that 100-piece order for your wholesale and add 50 that you send direct, and you probably make more money off of the 50 than you do off the 100. Before the even thinking about doing another 50 and then packing the boxes yourself and who's going to buy them and how am I going to transact is pretty daunting when you're worried about making sure that you have the right QR codes on your Barney's order and then your other one for your H&M order. And like, you know, that in itself is craziness.
So you're helping with that as well, compliance?
Yep.
Really?
Absolutely.
So at what point is there real interaction with the garment? What's the physicality?
I'm glad you asked that.
Yeah, that's big.
So we provide all of the benefits of the offline experience with all of the benefits of technology and sort of online this generation experience. Once you confirm basically check out for your collection. And one thing we haven't touched on yet is that before you check out, we provide you the all-in total landed guaranteed cost. So you know to the penny how much you're ever going to pay for this collection, which is really powerful for designers. And so once you actually pay, then the first or the next step is that the development partner comes in, helps you flesh out the designs from a technical perspective, from a material perspective. The next stage you go into is sourcing. And so based on what you've put into the material section, the factory or development partners that are doing material sourcing for you, they'll actually send you swatches. And so you're touching and feeling the swatches. You're uploading the photos of them, making comments. Similarly, if you want to do a special high-density print, they'll do the high-density print on the, you know, self-fabric to start. You approve that. Once you've approved the materials, the applications, the artwork, embroidery, those types of things, then they'll produce a sample. And the sample's sent to you. And we do offer at the Creator and Uncapped tier, you can sort of book an in-person fitting with one of the development partners if it's a more complicated product. We charge for it on the creator tier. It's included on the uncapped tier. And for people on basic or people in on the creator tier that, you know, live in Macedonia or Kuwait or Texas, they're able to get the photo, put it on themselves, take a photo, put it on, you know, someone that they're around, drop in comments and annotations, make tweaks, rip it, tear it, pin it, send it back. And then if another, you know, sample is required, that'll be made and sent back to them with the fixes. And if not, we can, you know, correct and proceed and go into production at that point.
So the sample doesn't come to the designer. The designer sees it remotely.
No. So it's sent to them directly.
Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So the designer is receiving it and then taking pictures.
Exactly.
And then sending the images back with annotations.
Exactly.
Okay. Yep. I thought you were saying the factory was doing that part and the designer was just responding to it over the internet or something.
We haven't been able to crack that.
Okay.
Maybe some combination of, like, you know, touch-sensitive gloves and
we
VR.
We can't take all the creativity away. Well, like,
exactly.
That's, like, a big part of it.
This is my question. If you're doing all of these steps, what's the designer doing? What are they left with?
So the designer, at the end of the day, especially on the basic and creator tier, this is their vision. They're saying it needs to be this heavyweight material.
They don't need to know how to execute it. I mean, they're just kind of nodding along. They can just nod along and get a collection made.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well,
now,
so...
But here's the thing. Making it easy to do something doesn't necessarily mean that you can be successful at that. For instance, GarageBand. GarageBand makes it easy on, you know, Apple Music to, you know, you can easily play some stuff on your keyboard. You can have trumpet sounds and all these different sounds. But, like, to use that to create a great song is not for everyone. And I think this is a similar example where it's, to some degree, garbage in, garbage out, where we can provide you all the resources, but if you want to design something that no one wants, we're not necessarily going to tell you no. And so that, if anything, what I get excited about is the fact that now with Kala, the best designs will actually bubble to the top instead of who has the deepest pockets, who has the friend with the factory.
Okay. So, I mean, conceptually, there's a huge portion that happens on the design side, right? You're deciding what fabrics or which sketches and so on, what you want to put into work. But from a price standpoint, you know, you're working your collection and you're fitting it into a business plan, right? You want to accomplish X amount of margin, price. How do I know? Because you're saying, and we will tell you what the cost is at the end. So I kind of have to...
Well, we'll tell you up front.
Oh, okay.
So you basically say you could upload a hand-drawn sketch and add in measurements for the key sort of like construction elements, length, cross shoulder, et cetera. You could say, I want to do this from a raw denim, something like that. And maybe in that artwork file, you add your logo and you say, you know, I want a 6-inch embroidery of this across the back. 2 inches placement from the neck. You could submit that as, and that would be all you need. And then within 24 hours, we'll tell you that at, call it 50 units, it's going to be $52. And at 75 units, it's going to be 50. And at 300 units, it's going to be $30. And so you can actually go in and fine tune it and basically figure out whatever the amount of units that you think you can sell.
And your system's also interactive in terms of communication. So if someone submits a design and there isn't enough information to generate the price, you can then ask them questions and ask them to fill in those details so you can generate the price, right?
Exactly. More and more, our algorithm's getting so good because of all the volume of designs that have been made that we've whittled it down to like a very small amount of information that we actually need to be able to give you what we call a fair market price. And then if you need the price to be lower, well, then you can do more units. And so you can kind of very easily see, you know, that sort of trade-off between unit cost and total amount per style that you would need to deploy.
Right, or change your design or fabric. Like, you have the options to do all that. Exactly. So are you at all levels? I know you mentioned Mr. Porter. So you're also going into the luxury workmanship?
Yeah. I mean, I made my tux for my wedding on Cala. And I did it
with... Must have cost a lot, one unit.
It was not cheap, I'll be honest. It was like $800, so not terrible either. But I...
It's not bad for a tux.
It's not bad. I uploaded a photo of a, you know, kind of a Shaw collar tux. So it doesn't have, like, have the lapel. It's kind of like a, you know, 2 inches, like, all the way around. I always like that. I think it just looks kind of cool. But I had to put my own flair on it. And so, as you all can probably see here, I've got, you know, my reflective shoelaces and the first ever socks that have 3M knitted into it.
Wearing Cala socks.
Nice.
So I had to kind of, you know, put a little surprise and delight in there. So I actually put in a like 2 millimeter piping around all of the lapel, around the pockets, and for the main buttons and the collars. And so when I was getting married, you know, no one could tell, no one was the wiser. It was just a nice black tux. And then once the lights went down and everyone started dancing and there was flash photography everywhere, my tux basically had this beautiful outline that glowed. And so everyone was losing their mind towards the end of the night because I didn't tell a soul. And so till the end of the night, everyone's like, hey, there's something wrong with your suit. They're like showing me their iPhone photos and it's like glowing everywhere. I'm like, yeah. So like, I'm not necessarily saying that was selling Mr. Porter, but like when people ask us like, what can you make? And it's actually more a factor of, you know, the capability of our factories and what you're willing to pay and what you know to articulate. And so we've done, you know, super, actually for Anthony, we did a leather jacket that I think was selling like $1,200 or something. And we've done, you know, socks that, you know, cost $3 and kind of everything in between. And that's the beauty of not just having one factory is that you don't want your denim factory doing your silk. And you don't want your knitwear factory trying to, you know, do some, you know, jeans or something. And so, based on what your needs are as a designer, we're able to, you know, cater to that and make sure it's being done by the best person to do it.
So where do Made in USA and sustainability play in here? How much are you putting a focus on that?
We think our greatest fundamental impact on sustainability in the short term is enabling you to only produce what you think you can sell. So many designers you talk to have thousands of units at their parents' basement because they found a great factory that had 500 or 300 unit minimums. And when they're starting the brand, that was the only way to get 15 to sell, you know, to kind of get it kicked off. So that's phase one. Phase two is actually working with factories that have made this a priority. And so not every factory that we work with has made that a priority, but we do have factories around the world where using solar power, hang drying instead of heated drying, vegetable dyes instead of, you know, more toxic pigment dyes. And so is it more expensive today? Yes. But if that's something that's important to your brand, which increasingly it is, we have that optionality for you.
So you can ask for the clothing to be made in a sustainable way as possible, and then you, in generating the pricing, will then go to those factories for giving the price of what it will cost to produce those units.
So we still set the price. So our algorithm says, okay, based on that, and it's, you know, this category of product, here's the price, and then we'll still bid it out to those factories, but that initial starting amount is usually 25 to 50% higher. And that sucks. You know, I think for us to make real change, and when I'm saying us here, I mean like as an industry, it can't be a trade-off. Everything should be produced in a sustainable manner. And it shouldn't be up to the consumer to choose. The consumer should be able to choose the product that they think is cool and is at the right price point, and it should just be sustainable. Today, we can't make that happen. But as our number of brands that we work with gets larger, as our overall volume with our factory partners, you know, as a percent of their total becomes more, we start being in a place of extreme leverage where we can start putting in not just certifications. I don't want to see your certifications. I want to know how you operate, and I want to incentivize you to operate in a way that is both sustainable, but also, you know, enables you as a business to continue to thrive. And so in the short term, it's more expensive. In the long term, we can do things like buy organic raw cotton on a bale level. Things that small designers can't do because it's going to end up being 5,000 or 10,000 yards of something. But if we have that available in the most popular jersey in a grage or something that can be, you know, then dyed to whatever the color of the designer's needs, and that option is just right there available on Cala, easy to select, more people will use it, and it kind of can start the snowball effect. But unfortunately, we have some designers that come to us today and are like, I need everything to be sustainable, you know, cradle to cradle. Like, you know, I want to go to the factory myself. I want to do this or that. And then they want to do like 5 styles and like 3 units per style. And it's like, I appreciate it. I love what you're trying to do. But the dynamics of it don't work for you to be successful with that level of specification required up front. And unfortunately, I think a lot of them spin the wheels on that and never actually get something out into the world. Or they do, and it's like $900 for a sweater, and it's a brand that no one's ever heard of before. And so something that's really important to all of us, and something that makes me really excited to see a very clear path on how we can have a real major impact where you don't have to choose, and it's just the default option is sustainable and affordable.
And I'm sorry, can people come, it's end to end, but can people come in at different phases? Yeah.
Absolutely. So some of our most successful brands are, we can't talk about it, but they're like large brands that you've heard of.
That was my next question.
And so they'll come in with a full tech pack ready to go. They've produced before that many of us have worn before. And so for that, it's extremely straightforward. The development partner basically just kind of makes sure everything's in the right, you know, front and back are in the right order and things like that.
They're
and
just handing just off straight. Logistics to you.
Exactly. We're enabling them to bring products to market more quickly. We're enabling them to do different supply chains that they may have extreme expertise in one area, but they've never done sunglasses before. Now with Cala, it's the same exact experience to design a fully fashioned knit as it is to do sunglasses or socks or something like that.
Well, I didn't know you did sunglasses. That's a different product category. What categories are you now able to produce in? Do you do handbags? Do you do backpacks?
So we actually have a backpack template here, and we'll talk about the templates in a little bit because I'm very excited about that. We say anything that's fashion product. It's hard to actually categorize. It's not just apparel. There's an amazing performer named Peaches who has used Cala to do duvet covers and pillow cover cases and things like that. So soft goods, for sure. Sunglasses, we have a few great suppliers for that. We've done a few jewelry projects. I wouldn't say it's in a place where we're sort of onboarding people to do jewelry, just jewelry. It's more like a designer's like, oh, I really want to do this for, you know, this event or thing like that. We can help. Socks, you know, knits, woven, basically anything within apparel. And we're working on our footwear supply chain. I don't want to bring a supply chain onto our Cala platform until we can provide that same level of experience, which is 24-hour upfront, all-in pricing, and, you know, low, if not no minimums. And as you can imagine, that's quite difficult in footwear, but we're working on it and have a pretty interesting strategy.
So sitting here and listening to you, this is like, it's a little miracle, right? It sounds almost too hard to believe. I mean, but I do believe it. And I think that for people listening, and I'm sitting here and impressed with everything that you're saying. And I think people do want to know, like, who's utilizing it? Like, what gives you the reputation, you know, that makes me trust to come to you? Because it's, you're solving so many problems. It's unbelievable.
Absolutely. So we have over 100 brands mm-hmm. that we're supporting now. And a lot of them you haven't heard of. They're a brand from an influencer that you follow on YouTube, or Vic Mensa, who's a rapper that's now launched an amazing punk album and is doing these amazing, you know, punk inspired clothing. Doesn't care. He's on his own wave, and it's super cool to be around him and hear him talk about it. I can't say that one. Let me think of another good one. So I think the brand I'm very excited about right now is I Still Love You New York, which is actually a sunglasses brand. Initially, Carrie started laser cutting amazing, like, weird, crazy shapes, and then kind of turning them into these little, like, you know, one-off festival glasses, doing jewelry and things like that. And now we've basically helped her to go from, you know, something that was kind of done with plastic in a machine shop to, like, now it's sort of like, you know, certified sunglass that can be sold in mass. And that's just kind of a really cool, you know, experience to see her business growing and flourishing. Yeah, I Work Out is one of my other favorite ones, which is a brand by Jason Tome, who works at Converse, actually. And he, you know, was trying to do this on his own time, going to the print vendor, buying blanks from Los Angeles Apparel, trying to coordinate getting them to the print vendor. And what he's been able to do now is, you know, just focus on the brand, focus on the designs, focus on the launch. And so he's been written up now in Vogue. He sells in Dover Street and Mr. Porter, and is now, I think he's done 7 collections since April. And so, you know, what's cool is that they're not necessarily all brands that you've heard of before, but they're brands that are now, you know, making hundreds of thousands of dollars with very small amount of capital up front. And we are now starting to work with, you know, bigger influencers and, you know, bigger names, but we try to be as respectful as we can about, you know, the secret sauce behind, you know, the scenes. Part of the inspiration for the name Cala was being the Cala lily flower, very simple and elegant, but doesn't necessarily like steal the show when it's in a big bouquet with other flowers. And so we want the designers and the creators we work with to be the bright colors and the flashy shapes and everything. Hopefully we can just make everything a little bit better. And whether or not they decide to talk about us, you know, it's fine with
us.
And
they last a long time, Cala lilies.
Exactly.
So tell us about these white templates. We're looking at white garments hanging on a beautiful white garment rack.
Thank you. So one of the things that we talk about a lot on the tech side of the house, our head of product, Ryan, was the founding designer at this startup called Superhuman, which is the fastest and best way to do email, and a tech darling at the moment. And they, you know, have an amazing product thinking. And so one of the things that we've talked about is the blank page problem, which is, all right, I paid my subscription. I'm logged into Calla. What do I design? And so what we decided to do was we looked at, you know, over the several hundred styles that have been pumped through this year, what are the most commonly demanded products? And so obviously, first and foremost, the oversized tee. Every streetwear brand has one.
Right.
And that's a long sleeve.
There you go.
But basically,
we're looking at a long sleeve oversized tee.
We created what we think is the best version of that in an amazing fabric. And so now when you actually click start a new design in Calla, you get to choose from 25 of these, from backpacks to denim to a puffer jacket to a beautiful knit scarf. And so now a designer can start from there, change, you know, dye it any color, print it any color, add embroidery, distress it, change the zippers. They can really edit instead of needing to just like come up with a whole new, like net new concept. And the benefit of this also is that these are all pre-developed styles. And so these digital patterns, if it hasn't been produced by our factory, you know, it easily can be. And so this saves even more time on the lead time because it's been pre-developed. It's also, I mean, the whole reason for samples, right, is like you get a sample and it's like, okay, this, but let's take this down a half inch or let's add this. And so once something exists in the world, making small tweaks on that is pretty straightforward. And so we have about 25 right now. And of course, we did them all in white to just kind of resemble the blank canvas.
Well, this kind of reminds me of like promotional products that companies will buy. Like they'll get the stress ball with their logo on it, and they can change the color of the stress ball, and it's their custom logo. Or they can get a mug, and it's got their logo, or it's got a cartoon on it that their employees like, or any of this stuff where it's not necessary to know how to make a coffee mug in order to get your logo on 500 coffee mugs.
Absolutely.
So that really simplifies things for people.
I get your comparison. I just want to add that these look beautiful.
They do.
Unlike
maybe
the coffee mugs when you go. And they're,
no, so there is an important differentiation. So these are templates, which means that it's still being cut and sewn from scratch. So this, you know, we don't have 700 of these sitting in a warehouse in Fresno or something. And you can change the fabric. You can make small tweaks to the construction. Mm-hmm. We also have something that we call our blanks. And so we actually have blanks.ca.la where you can go and browse all of these pre-existing products, not necessarily coffee mugs, but your Gildan t-shirts and your Champion t-shirts and Vrockaware. And so a lot of streetwear brands start with these sort of pre-existing products, screen print them, print their logo in the back of the neck. The one benefit with Calla is that every product, having your own branded woven label is included in the price. And so right from the beginning, once again, without needing to order 5,000 labels, you can do even a Gildan shirt with a screen print on it and have your own branding in it, which just, to be honest, it adds $10 to the price.
Well, do you then take out the Gildan logo or are you making?
We'll pull the tags.
Okay.
Sometimes we have to put in separate care label tags because it'll be like Gildan on the front. So
you're modding t-shirts.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's kind of a great way to test drive the process with you also.
100%. Yeah. And the lead time on that is like, I think 21 days is what we quote you at checkout, and that has a 15% project buffer in it. So like, you know, this is a really quick and easy way to test a brand. And people like kind of laugh at us sometimes because they're like, wait, no, I was going to do 1,000 units. And why are you telling me to do less? I'm like, because like we have a long-term value or like a long-term value focus and optimization. And so like, it's more important to us that you start small, sell out, have success, and then keep coming back over and over and over and over again for years than for us to make an extra 5K on this first one. And then you're drowning in inventory and your business goes under. And so blanks are something that we regularly, and the templates are something we regularly start people out with. It's like, hey, I love that you want to do the like 17 buckle thriller jacket. That's great. It's going to be awesome. Let's test your audience first with some more simplified products and sort of work our way up to that, or at least do them in parallel. So that you're not just trying to sell one thriller jacket on your website. And so these are things where we can kind of, as a team, also help the brands that we work with to, you know, be more successful and think through, you know, their rollout.
So let's talk about your third tier, which is the uncapped tier. From our previous conversation, I understand that this is like if a celebrity wants to have their own fashion brand, they can come to you, pay, I think, $10,000 a month. And then you take 40% of the revenue from the brand and you will create the collection based on their whimsies and then market it and sell it and ship it and everything.
Business in a box.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I look at, have you heard of the influencer Something Navy? She did a collaboration with Nordstrom and then now she's raised like $10 million. And so she's built out a team of 12 or 15 people. Totally a way that you can do it. I mean, not everyone has access to that to do that way. When we look at our uncapped tier, you're getting that 10 or 12 person team, but for a, you know, it's 15K a month if you pay month to month and 10K a month if you commit for the whole year up front. And so you're getting a designated designer that is on retainer and available at your whim. The big kind of difference, I think, between creator and uncapped in that point is that on creator tier, you have to come with the idea. We'll help you execute it. On the uncapped tier, you can say, I want a floral dress line. And then the designer will actually come to you with a litany of design options you can sort of creative direct and edit down from there.
And from what I understood before, you can also just describe your following. You can talk about the people who follow you on Instagram or YouTube and what they wear and what they need.
Absolutely. We actually, part of the design process when selecting who's the appropriate ghost designer in essence to be on the project is, we look at their audience, we hear what they say about their brand and what they want it to be. And then we actually encourage the designers to go out and do their own research. And so by the time we have that next meeting where we're sort of making those introductions, they have a already semi-formalized perspective on what this brand could be and what's going to really cater well to this audience. But that's not good enough. And so not only do you have a designated designer, we'll also build your website from the ground up. We'll manage your store and help you optimize for whatever your goals are. Part of what we do at the beginning is we actually plan out the next 12 months. And so we create a financial plan for how many units, how many styles, how many collections, how often, what percentage do we think we're going to sell through? How much are we going to gift? And so we come up with a plan that becomes the roadmap. And then your account manager will make sure that to hit these dates on the roadmap, the collections are being submitted 10 weeks before and the samples are being approved on this time. And after that first drops happens, we're updating the model based on what we're actually seeing from a items per order perspective or a total units, you know, sold or colors or sizes. And so you really get a business in a box. You get a team of experts that are at your disposal from design to fulfillment to logistics. And we even have this amazing team of paid marketing ad buyers that will, based on your audience and people that are already buying your products, go out and find a million more and start, you know, making sure that they're seeing these products as you're doing new drops.
Andrew, this is kind of amazing.
thank you.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
When I first looked at your site, there was just a place to put in your email address and we'll contact you. And now you can see the tiers on the website. It's a little more open. What's the kind of the status of the waiting list and who can actually access your platform? Are you still picking and choosing who can start to use the system?
No. So part of the subscription, part of the whole concept with the subscription was one, to aggregate a lot of different supplementary services that we were seeing people being successful with in an ad hoc manner together into these like amazing packages. But it also was to help us qualify who we are spending time making successful. And so even though we've received a little bit of heat from some people about, you know, having a subscription fee, the reason we do is so that we can spend an hour doing a demo with someone. And so that once you subscribe, we can really throw our full weight behind you being successful and reaching your goals. And so now today, if you want to get started, we tried to get smart about, you know, looking at if you have a Gmail or looking at if you have your own domain and, you know, scraping the internet to figure out how many styles that you have online. We tried to get really smart about that and like didn't really have a lot of success. And so instead we were like, well, you know what? Instead of someone telling us they want to do 150 units and then we realize that they want to do that someday, but not this year, we're basically letting people, you know, subscribe. And once you subscribe, then, you know, you have the full support of our team to be successful.
And at $150 a month, it seems pretty easy to try it out.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's very interesting. Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. This is fascinating and totally. We really, I think, are curious to see where it's going.
Absolute pleasure. And, you know, we haven't really talked too much publicly about what we're doing. We've been really focused on building this amazing experience. And so it's kind of fun to hear your response and also to have you come to the office and hang out. It's been a blast.
All right.
It's been great. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to American Fashion Podcast. On our website, AmericanFashionPodcast.com, you can find our Be a Guest form, as well as a sign-up page for invitations to our live shows, and a new feature, the archives, with roughly 250 episodes published. The old shows don't fit in our feed anymore, so we've made them available for a nominal fee. Please continue the conversation online. On Twitter, we are at AFPOD, and on Instagram, we are at American Fashion Show, and I personally am at Fashion Tech Guru on just about everything. For direct comments, give us a call at 646-979-8709. That's our voicemail line. Or email info@AmericanFashionPodcast.com. American Fashion Podcast is produced by Mouth Media Network, which holds the copyright to this and all other episodes, all rights reserved. Subsist, friends. Keep making things beautiful. Remain in force. I'm Charles Beckwith, and we'll talk to you again next week.
This is Mouth Media Network, audio for business.